Welcome, welcome, beautiful soul sisters. I'm so happy that you're here. This is a space where we remember what it means to be wild women walking upon this earth, exploring that which is often unseen and unspoken. Together, we practice using our voices and the ancient ritual of storytelling, connecting about all that unites us as we share our stories of birth, life, and death. Today is Monday, April 14th, 2024. The moon is currently waxing towards a full moon in Scorpio on Tuesday, April 23rd, when this podcast will air. I am currently in Washington State in a little Airbnb with some beautiful forests surrounding me, cedar, stinging nettles, blackberry brambles. Yarrow and dandelions are popping up. It's truly filling my soul to be nestled here with my family. If you've been following along and wondering if I'm still on call for a birth or if baby has arrived Earthside. And I'm enjoying serving the sweet little family in this precious postpartum window. If you would like to see Michelle and mine's faces as we share stories here today, you can watch this episode on Earthing Nova YouTube. I am super excited to have Michelle Mbatiliaka. No, I just said it the wrong. Can you say
You're
it again?
good.
Mbatiliaka here today through the cosmos on Zoom. We connected through the Free Birth Society membership and decided to do a podcast swap, and here we are. I have been really enjoying listening to Michelle's show, Soul Over Matter. I'm feeling enlivened as I imagine all the places our story sharing might take us today. So, Michelle, I would love for you to just take a moment, tell the women where in the world you are today, and introduce a bit about yourself in whatever way feels good, and maybe a little bit about your journey of like the being that you are today, how you came into this moment in time.
Well, first of all, thank you, Amana, for having me. It's such a pleasure to be interviewed, as I'm sure you know, when we're always interviewing others. It's a gift to share our stories. And I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I've been here for almost a year now. My journey. Oh boy. I always begin with sharing about how I always knew I was psychic. I always knew how deeply intuitive and sensitive I was. I was the child who every night would pray to God, the universe, and just ask, like, please let all the animals and all the babies on this earth be safe by morning time. And then my parents would have the newspaper, and I would just see all the violence and all the things that the news reports on, and I would just get so disheartened. I was so deeply connected to the earth and to children and to animals. So I love to also just say I am so many things, as many women are, right? And many women listening, we are ever shifting, ever evolving. So right now I feel like heart center leader, spiritual teacher, and podcast host of Soul Over Matter are like my main titles. And definitely wild woman for sure. Because yeah, ever since I was young, very, very in tune, and but didn't have that knowing of support around me, right? So once I got to school age, I kind of shut down my gifts because I was around other children and teachers, and that whole system that doesn't allow children to flourish and doesn't allow children to be in their creative energy. We're told to sit down and be quiet and like follow the rules. And once I really awakened, even though I feel like most of us have always been awakened in this life, but when I really stepped into my truth and my remembrance in 2018, 2019, I kept having these flashbacks of just knowing that once I turned like 6 or 7, I shut down my voice. I allowed the outside world to kind of dictate who I was, and I didn't share, and I wasn't really shy. I just didn't feel comfortable being who I am. And yeah, that carried through high school, my 20s. I would have so many psychic experiences that I didn't really talk about to anyone. And looking back, it's like we choose these lifetimes, we choose these stories and these experiences to help us remember, to help us lift the veil again. Because I think, as all children, they are so deeply connected to source, to the universe, and then the world kind of comes in and tells them who they are, unless they are deeply supported by caregivers and those around them. So yeah, there was this disconnect of my power. And since 2018, I have really found my voice. I've really remembered my truth and realized that I'm here to then be a beacon for others and a lighthouse, and to help women just remember how authentic and powerful they truly are. And to be loud, right? And to be too much. I remember that too, growing up, of like, you're too much, or you're not enough. And I think as women, we're constantly shown that, right? There's never this energy of like, okay, you are who you are. It's the society always telling us something about us as women. So yeah, 2018 was kind of the catalyst of my spiritual awakening, where I started women's circles. I started really tuning into the moon. I got off birth control intuitively. And yeah, just remembered the power of my womb and the power of creativity. I never thought I was creative. I never thought I was artistic. And yeah, it's been a really wild journey returning to my power and to my truth and to my voice, I think, as well.
Well, yeah, I remember, or I heard you talk on another podcast about, yeah, your throat chakra and that being a big thing for you. That was also part of like starting my podcast a couple of years ago, was that I was like so quiet. I had a really hard time speaking up in all sorts of situations and had done then a lot of work, yeah, just on my throat chakra. And then it was like the next step was like doing the podcast and putting it out there and doing it scared and all those things.
Yes,
Yeah.
amazing.
So for our listeners that might not be that familiar with what like psychic abilities are, is there a story you could share from your childhood or older where you were receiving these messages or knowings and what that was like for you? Maybe
Yeah.
language for it. I like for me, it was like I didn't have the language for it when I was younger. I just sort of learned the language about it a few years ago.
Yeah, I think that's how most children are. I really honestly feel all of us are psychic and intuitive, and it's just the distractions of the world that make us question, right? Because we're not taught to trust ourselves, women especially, but all beings on this planet, we are taught to follow rules and to look externally for answers. And that intuition, that psychic ability is, it's like this little voice inside of you. I remember in elementary school just hearing this voice. It was a voice of my soul, and I knew it because it was so calm, and it was just this, like almost like this blanket of love. And it would remind me, I always felt I had friends growing up, I've always had friends, but I felt so such an ancient soul. And I knew I was here for big things. So I always had this deep knowing, which is claircognizance. Obviously, I didn't know that at the time, because teachers, grown-ups, right, they would be like, Michelle, how do you know that? Or you're wrong. But internally, I'd be like, I know this. Like, I don't know how I know, And I'm sure many listeners can feel this as well. It's like you just know certain things. Like I knew I wasn't like a lot of my peers, or, I always wanted to be around children, like little babies or elderly people. Like there was always, or animals. I was obsessed with animals. And so the knowing was always something, and then feeling. And I think as children, again, unless we're supported, we're told our feelings aren't right, right? Or it depends on the emotional maturity of the parent, of our parents, our caregivers. And I do honestly believe we choose our parents, we choose our lifetimes to learn specific lessons for our soul. So I'm thinking of a story. I'm trying to think of like a specific story. Oh, okay. So in high school, I babysat in my building. So I grew up in Queens, New York. So again, also a lot of people in New York City, a ton of people. And I used to babysit, and I babysat for this family who the mother actually had committed suicide, and with at our building. And I think I was 15 or 16. And I remember putting the girl to bed and, sharing a story, and then being in the living room and like studying for a Latin test and just feeling presence around me. And I would look around and be like, what? Like, who is that? Like just knowing someone was there. And intuitively, I knew it was that spirit, right? That soul. And I would have dreams of her as well. Dreams have always been really big for me too. So visions, clairvoyance, just seeing things, and premonitions. Like I've always predicted my friends' pregnancies and dreams. It's like really amazing when you are tapped in. And that experience, the feeling of like, okay, knowing there's a soul here. Who's maybe stuck, right? Maybe in transition and needs help. But I didn't know what to do at that time. So I would just pray, I would just pray for her spirit, and that those kinds of stories would happen to me. Or I think this is relevant to a lot of people where growing up or even now, people just come to you and are like, I haven't told this to anyone. And they just spew a whole story of trauma, or just they just share with you because they feel so safe with you. And I think a lot of us are these earth angels. We're here to help hold that space and to help transmute. And I truly believe I'm an alchemist. Like I help people move that energy. I'm now a Reiki teacher. So yeah, learning to not be afraid of my psychic abilities. And I'm hoping I answered your question.
Yeah, no, it's great.
But not, I work with women, and I actually have an intuitive psychic program coming up this spring. The first time I'm going to be offering it, because I really hear it loudly that many women are afraid of their gifts. They're afraid to cross that threshold and really say, okay, I am a psychic. I am a medium. I have chills as I say this, because we are here to share that. We are here to be these world bridgers and to help. I've helped many souls cross on when I was living in San Francisco after that awakening in 2018. My Reiki teacher, she's like, you're a medium. Like there are souls that come to you, and you kind of just hold on to their energy, not knowing that that's them and not you. So that's something else that I love to teach, is like learning your own signature, learning your own energy, so that you can alchemize it or like create boundaries around it. So I started creating boundaries with spirit, like, hey, 9 to 5, you can come along, I can help you out, but when I'm sleeping at 3 a.m. and you're in the corner of my room, I'm gonna say, get the heck out of here. So yeah, it's been a wild, wild journey. But I feel a lot of souls who are afraid to say like, oh yeah, I am gifted, and I'm spiritual, and I'm psychic, and Just learning to fine-tune those gifts.
Yeah, I believe the same as you that we all have these gifts. And like you're speaking to, it's so important to also know what's mine and what's not mine. Like, and I feel like a lot of, I think, women even more sort of allow that permeability of like a loved one or, and it gets a little like mucky of what's theirs and feeling responsible for another person's emotions or feelings. And same in like the spirit realm. So I like that you're speaking to that.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I was like, boundaries, what? She's like, yeah, like they're just whole, because we're light, right? We're light. So, and the more you do work and the more you heal, the more bright you shine, the more brightly you shine. And I think a lot of us are afraid to shine. We were raised, we were conditioned, but we're all meant to shine so brightly in our own ways and not shy away from that. And yeah, just being able to clear. I'm constantly clearing, I'm constantly protecting, and just knowing, and then not being afraid, like, hey, like, you can go now, just creating that space. And I think boundaries are always a topic amongst women, right? Just like you said, that permeability, that enmeshment that just happens so naturally, because we are healers, we're always helping and providing for others.
Yeah. In your experience, I've heard you speak a little bit on your podcast about doing mediumship development, like it sounds like formally, and how did you or when did you come into that? Like obviously you knew you had these abilities from a young age, and then when did it sort of switch from like knowing it and practicing it in your own ways to then maybe intentionally learning from some other people ways of practicing as well?
Oh, chilled again. In 2019, a cousin of mine actually passed away, and he was only a year younger than me. And I honestly feel like he helped me remember, like, Michelle, you're a medium, because he would come to me with messages from my family, his family, and they'd be like, how are you so connected? Like, how is he giving you so many signs? And I'm like, because of the work I've done, and he knows who to go to. Like, I know Michelle's gonna go and tell. Like, he was such a bright light. He is a bright light. He's like, I'm the bright light, I'm still here. So that he helped me really strengthen and be sure of myself, because I would tell my family stories or like things that he would share, and they're like, whoa, like, how'd you know that? And that was around the time my Reiki teacher shared those stories with me about being a medium. And she referred me to a mediumship circle. I was living in San Francisco at the time, and I never went. I don't know what it was. I think COVID happened, pandemic happened, and I just forgot about it, as we do, right? We're all so busy. And then this past January, I got an email. And they were like, hey, we're starting up these circles again, and they're going to be hybrid. So even if you're not local, you can join. And I'm like, oh my gosh, spirit, I hear you loud and clear. So yeah, I go every week, and I feel like I'm in Hogwarts. It's like just learning from others. And I think that's such a big part of this journey as well, is learning, going like years of learning and then integrating and like being on your own and your teeth in what you've learned, which I think has been me like the last 3 or 4 years. And now I'm in this like learning mode again of like refining and opening myself up again. So mediumship circles, I've been going to every week, and I just love this teacher because he shares like there's no right or wrong. It's really feeling into your heart and not your monkey brain, right? Because our human brain will tell us, no, you're wrong, or that's not right. And something I've learned through Reiki healings over the last 5 years and providing that space for others is it's not up to me what I filter. If a message is coming through, I get to share it, whether I'm quote unquote right or wrong. I get to share it with someone. And I remember the first time that happened, I had a healing session in my living room in San Francisco, and I smelled this perfume. And I said, I'm pretty sure your grandma is here. Is she passed on? And she was like, yes. And I was like, I can smell her perfume. Like, I was very open about it. And she started crying. And so I forgot what that's called. Claire Aura. I forgot, but it's like
But
the
yeah, it's
smell.
another Claire.
Yes. Yeah. So that's something that I think is huge too, is not judging your filter, just allowing spirit to work through you. Allow yourself to be this channel, and for yourself, first and foremost. You know, I teach Reiki as well, and Reiki level one is all about yourself, like healing self. I do a 21-day journey, because I think a lot of us as healers just want to help. We want to learn something and then teach on it, or we want to like heal the world. And we can't do that unless we put our mask on first, right? Our oxygen mask on. So yeah, this mediumship circle the last few months has been an eye-opener, and just this remembering. And I got the pleasure of living in Sedona, Arizona for 7 months last year, where I met my partner as well. And living on that sacred land, I call her she, because she's just this mother nest energy. She helped me like really trust my channel. Like, I would just like tap into friends or family and share messages with them, and they were like, how did you know that? So that was really helpful to live on such sacred land and remember my channel, because I had a few years of traveling solo and moving through human emotions where I kind of shut down my spirit side and really was in my human.
Yeah, we go through these different cycles. I like how you spoke to the, with the learning, and you're doing sort of, the different self exploration with the learning, and then seeing what other people are doing or learning from other people, and also that it's going to be unique to you the way that you practice mediumship and abilities. One of my mentors, Danielle Sarink, she speaks to the same thing, like, we're all going to have a slightly different way that we experience our abilities and what our strengths are and the way they might shift and change across time. And yeah. So you traveled for a while by yourself. What was that like?
Oh yeah. So September 2021, I left a long-term partnership and engagement, and on paper it was all great, but spirit, my higher self, was really calling me like, this isn't it. Like, you have to move on. And visions came through at that time, and I had to trust. And I was living in Denver, Colorado at the time, and it was a 6-year relationship, and we had just moved to Denver maybe a year prior, so I had a few friends, but I had no idea what was going to happen. So I did a session of astrocartography, which I now do readings for. And astrocartography is locational astrology. So it's like, if you put your birth chart, if you're familiar with astrology, you put your birth chart on the map of the world, different places will be highlighted by different planetary lines. So your sun line, maybe like my sun line's in San Francisco. That's where I had my awakening. That's where I started my business, Women's Circles, right? It's that bright, confident, like shiny, external, outgoing energy. So I am essentially, yeah, there are different points that will activate these parts of your chart. And I had learned about locational astrology for a couple of years. And then, yeah, I found this person and did a reading. And she's like, yeah, Denver is not a great place for your career. She's like, your midheaven, which is our highest point of our chart, that's squaring your north node, which is our purpose. So she was like, yeah, I can understand why you don't want to stay there after this breakup. So I wound up living with friends for a couple of months, and I just kept hearing from spirit, from my higher self, buy a car and travel. Like, you're not meant to have a home right now. And so I did. I bought a car around Thanksgiving, and I started traveling. I met up with a girlfriend, and that was a synchronicity, because we met up, and then she got a call from her mentor that she couldn't hold her retreat in Maui, her Kundalini yoga retreat. And I knew in that moment, again, that claircognizant, that knowing, that my friend would be hosting the retreat and I would be going as a guest. And I didn't say it. So this is also great for anyone who's a healer, who's a psychic, or just an intuitive, anyone who's intuitive. Sometimes you got to wait and let people find the answers on their own. So I knew we were both going, catching a plane 3 days later, but I let her move through her emotions for 24 hours. And we wound up going to Maui. And I've been to Maui a few times before, and it felt like home. Like, it just felt like home. And I was like, I don't know the how or the when, but I'm going to wind up here. Like, I know spirit is showing me Maui. I get to go to heaven before this nomadic journey, and that somewhere, somehow, I'm going to wind up back here again. And so anyway, we went, and then I came back to the US, well, came back to mainland, and I started traveling, and I started following these lines. So what was it? Taos, New Mexico. New Mexico has a lot of my lines. So I was in Taos, which is a very spiritual place. Vortex, if you've never been, it's on a bed of rose quartz. And yeah, I forgot. I think it's my Venus line, Saturn and Jupiter were all there. And I didn't know where I was going, Amana. Like, I just trusted. I think back to that 2 years ago and I'm like, I could never do that now. Like, I could have never done that journey now, because some days I didn't know where I would sleep. I started out at Airbnbs and actually traveled back to San Francisco, stayed with a soul sister for a couple of weeks, and almost felt like I was collecting parts of my soul, like fragments of my soul, because that's where I lived with my ex, had my awakening. So there was such this like closure when I was there. And then, yeah, around Valentine's Day, I think I was in Joshua Tree and at a hotel, and I just prayed to spirit. I was like, okay, I understand you want me on this journey, but you need to help me. Like, I need help because I can't sustain this financially. Like, I don't know where I'm going. Please, like, I just started praying to my guides, and I open up my laptop, and there's a pet sitter website on Facebook, on a Facebook group of no female nomads. And it's like $100 for the year, and you can pet sit, house sit all over the world, actually. So it's called Trusted House Sitters. That was the bridge between myself and my guides. So I applied for this. Yeah, it was wild. I'm actually writing a book right now about this journey,
Yay.
because I know, just for myself, but also for other women who are moving through a transition, who are moving through just this trust and surrender. Surrender was huge for me that year. And I look back, and I have friends who, okay, so let me finish that story. So I pray, I open this website, and I apply to this house sitter. I get like two recommendations from friends. And I find myself a week later in my first house sit in a little beach town in LA. And the woman's a Reiki master. Like I am. And I'm like, okay, spirit, I hear you. So it was just like these breadcrumbs, these synchronicities, and animals have always been in tune with me, as I said before. So she had this little black cat, and she was like, yeah, he's like shy. If he doesn't really come out, like, don't worry. And that night, he's like cuddled up with me in the bed, and I like sent her a picture. She's like, oh my gosh, you must, yeah, you're a Reiki teacher. Like, they animals and babies know energy.
So much.
So that just started this cat, like this snowball, a beautiful snowball of these house sits in California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado. Where else was I? I can't remember, but mostly like the Pacific Southwest. And yeah, it was a journey because it was also unearthing who I was from that relationship, 6 years with someone. I didn't date at all for 6 months. I really like gave myself that space and that time to remember, because I think towards the end I was forgetting who I was and looking everywhere else for those answers besides my relationship. So yeah, that maiden journey was really powerful. And around July, I had been, yeah, now nomading for 7 months, and received a call from my mom that my dad had actually attempted suicide in New York. So that brought up a lot because it had happened when I was a child. And, as many of us do this work, a lot of our subconscious memories, especially really painful ones, will go away, will be suppressed until another event happens or a trigger happens. And I realized at that moment that I was then being called to reparent my 8-year-old self. And so I wound up going back home to New York City, living with my mom for a month while my dad was in a mental hospital. And at the time, I have a sister, and she was like, "How can you live with mom? How are you like this age now and living with mom?" I'm like, "Because of my healing, because of, this healing I've done. I can see my mom as a human, as someone who did the best she could. And I knew I was there to be this lighthouse for my family, and to be able to like zoom out of the situation as well, as much as I could have." So that was a wild experience. And yeah, then I went back to nomading, and then it was slower. I feel like the first 7 months were like this like wand energy, this like fire in tarot, right? Like just boom, boom, bang, like moving so much, just packing up my car every couple of days or weeks. And then after that situation, it really slowed me down. My nervous system needed more regulation. So I wound up in Colorado for most of the rest of the year, like Durango, Colorado. And yeah, then it my dad had another attempt in December. So a lot of that, like what I shared before, that human, that the human came in of, I was like, I wasn't really offering. I'm also a speech therapist by nature. Like that's my career. So I leaned on my career, honestly, for the last like 2 years. And I feel like I'm now reemerging and rebirthing from, that year, that long year of unearthing and remembering and rebirthing who I was. And yeah, realizing, the deep wounds and the trauma I'm here to heal, and from my ancestry, from my lineage. And yeah, then I landed in Sedona in January of 2023, and li got to live there before I moved in with my partner. Yeah, wild journey.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely crazy when I look back.
I love how, in the moment you might not have understood like where you were headed, but then so beautiful to kind of look back and see how things all, aligned and make sense in a way.
Oh yeah, and all those houses, animals, such deep memories and connections, because sometimes the animal's name would be like connected to that part of my journey, right? So when I was moving through shadow work, I was with this huge dog named Shadow, and I'm like, "Oh my God, spirit, like, are you serious?" Like,
Such a sense of humor. I love that.
oh my God, like my guides were hysterical during that time, because I think they were just like, "She finally got it. Like, she's finally back on track with her highest timeline." And yeah, I got to horse sit in New Mexico, and I grew up in New York City. Like, I never really pet a horse, took care of a horse. So Yeah, I think that journey was just trust and surrender and knowing that I would always be right where I'm meant to be. And I think that's something that a lot of us, especially now, I think this year especially, it's like we desire to be like further along, even though like what is further along? Or I thought I healed that, right? Like when my dad attempted, I was like, I thought I healed all this. And the spiritual ego comes up and it's like, no, there is constantly ebbs and flows, and it humbled me. I was so humbled by that journey. And just remembering we are human just as much as we are spirit.
Absolutely. So true. So we found each other on Freebirth Society. Tell me how you found Freebirth Society, right? Why you chose to be a part of that membership.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy you reached out. So I think it was last summer or fall. Excuse me. I used to follow, well, I guess I still follow her, Yoga Girl.
Rachel
She was like,
Brayton.
yeah, so she's
Yes.
like the original influencer. Like I've been following that woman since like 2013. I got to meet her twice, which was amazing. For one of my sister's birthday, actually right before I moved to San Francisco, we got she was doing a yoga event in New York City, so we got to meet her, and then I got to meet her again in San Francisco. I followed her, and then I saw her podcast episode with Emily, and I was like, oh, this is cool. So I'm like, because I wanted to hear her birth story, and I've always been fascinated by autonomy, right? And our choice, especially since the pandemic, like that really unearthed so much of me. I don't have children yet, but I'm like, wow, if I were doing this same thing in my 20s, like if I had a child in my 20s, I would have just gone the hospital route. But there's been such this unearthing of choice and of power and of wisdom. So I listened to that episode and then I just started eating up the podcast. I was like, oh my gosh, like more women like me. And I'm a firm believer of surrounding yourself in that energy of what you desire to move into. Like, I'm not a mother yet, but manifestations are so powerful when you begin opening yourself up to what you feel is your next step, right? So, like for instance, in January, I went to this what is it called? Toastmasters. So it's like public speaking, and I like threw myself into the wolves. I was like, let me just go to this event. I don't know anyone, and yeah, we like took turn. I like stood up there and publicly spoke, and afterwards, I was like on this high, right? But it's like I desire to be a public speaker one day, so let me do that. So it was the same with this with Emily's podcast, and I think then they opened enrollment in January, and I was like, well, I desire to be a free birthing woman one day, a home birthing woman. Let me again surround myself with conscious, powerful women, because yes, I have amazing women in my life, spiritual, conscious women, but they've already had children, or they don't have children yet. And I was like, I need to be in community because I know these spirit babies are coming soon. So let me get ahead of the game. And I think they also, my spirit babies, I'm already very deeply connected with, they like nudged me to join.
Yeah. Oh, how beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Love her podcast. I've listened to all the episodes, some more than one. And yeah, also Rachel Brayton. Love her podcast. I love how, yeah, she changed the name to, what is it? The From the Heart.
Yeah, she's just such a real, vulnerable, like authentic person. And I think we need that, we need that as women. So it was really cool to see her on Emily's podcast and just like seeing what Emily is doing. And I'm like, wow, like this is just amazing. And I think that's what it is, this time that we're living in, it is community. It is finding like-minded women, so we don't feel alone, because there's a lot of Yeah, a lot of shifts happening still in the outer world, and it's more normal than we think it is, right? It's like, oh, you think like I do? Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it is really just, I find it so helpful and just comforting sometimes to be, yeah, with women who I share values with. And I have some of that in the flesh, and it's also beautiful that we can have that in virtual ways.
Yeah, and I remember it's so funny you reached out recently, but one of the first recordings I watched was the grief circle, the grief and loss circle, because I had just gone through a miscarriage. So, and you were hosting it, and it was such a beautiful reflection, beautiful circle. So I just love that you then reached out, and here we are.
Yes. Well,
When did
thank
you
you.
join the membership?
I joined the membership a few years ago now, maybe 3 years ago. Yeah. About 3 years ago. I first, like, even though I had been in the birth world, I've attended births for over 15 years now. But I didn't learn about what free birth was until after I birthed my son. And then it sort of came into my awareness. And then it was so funny to just also realize that my maternal grandmother had free birthed her first two, not intentionally, but she had unassisted free births of her eldest son and also my mother,
Wow.
who came and call, like, wow. So just to remember that, like, that is in our DNA, that's in our ancestry, that's like literally in mine, just, you know, two generations she's there. And yeah, and so when I got introduced to the podcast, it was right when she was first starting. I was already, you know, a person who listened to birth stories and watched birth videos all the time, and when I came in to contact with her podcast, it brought new language of how to, like, speak about things. And I just, yeah, love the framing that she does. It's really helpful to me.
Yeah,
Yeah.
amazing. So you free birthed your son?
I birthed, so he, it was before, after I birthed him that I sort of had the awareness of free birth. I birthed him at home, just 7 minutes after the midwife arrived. So
Wow.
it felt like, oh, like, you know, it could have happened even before she got there. And yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that too, like hearing other women's stories, you know, the story, like you shared in the beginning of the podcast, like the storytelling is so powerful. It's like you said, this ancestral remembrance. And the more you open yourself up to it, the more you deprogram and decondition from, what is considered normal in our society.
Totally. And now it just, like, shifts into so many areas of our life. Like, birth is one aspect, and it's a huge part, such a, you know, incredible rite of passage for women to experience. And each one is transformative and different. And just, yeah, so important for us to honor that and remember that. And yeah, storytelling, because I mean, people can teach me something in, like, a PowerPoint, very, like, structured way. I don't remember it the same as if someone that shares a story that includes, like, knowledge and wisdom within it, then it enters in a different pathway.
100%, because it activates that primal energy, right? We didn't have PowerPoints and computers back.
Right.
We were just in circle. We were in circle with our drums and our songs and our stories. Yeah.
Around the fire, under the moonlight.
Ooh, I have chills. Yeah. Oh. We're
Yes.
returning. We're returning there. We are there. We are there.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that you have some offerings around cycles. Like, will you tell me more about that? Like, I love just honoring and remembering the cycles, noticing them, like, around us, within us. Tell me more about your connection with cycles and.
Yeah. So I don't know if I have any current offerings. But I am part of a membership called the Collective. So it's six facilitators, human design readers, astrologers, Akashic record readers, and just like spiritual entrepreneurs. And it's super affordable. It's $33 a month. My friend began it, and she wanted to keep it accessible to everyone, you know, and I think that's a whole nother podcast we could talk about, upcharging wisdom and knowledge. And so it just started the collective collaboration membership, but I desire to bring more like feminine womb work and connecting with our cycles into that membership. So yeah, please join if you're feeling called. And I hold moon circles in that membership as well. But yeah, connecting with cycles. So when I got off birth control in 2018, I didn't have any guide or, any like awareness. I just was like, I need to get off this. And it was the best decision. I just started really tapping into the moon and the signs, you know, how the moon sign changes every 2 to 3 days, and my own moon sign, and then my cycle, and just really tapping into the seasons. You know, as women, we go through a different season every week if we are bleeding. If we are bleeding women, our hormones shift every single day. You know, men have a 24-hour cycle, we have a 28-day cycle. So learning the flow and the ebb as a woman, you know, to go slower when I was bleeding, and to be in reverence to that rest and to that sacred blood. You know, women were in this, I don't like to call it toxic, but this like wounded masculine society, right? Where it's 9 to 5. It's like this cycle that was designed for the 24-hour cycle for the man. But as women, we are constantly shifting and constantly, you know, we're more creative during our ovulation stage. It's the summer, right? It's that birthing, it's that opening. And once I tapped into the cycles, I found myself more deeply connected with nature as well, because she is the cycles. She is always shifting, always evolving. And when I was younger, I actually used to hate winter. Growing up in New York City, I hated the cold. I hated the darkness. I hated, going inward. And that was only because I wasn't connected with my shadow. I wasn't connected with that part of me that is so powerful, right? When we accept our shadow, when we alchemize those aspects of ourselves and accept those aspects of ourselves. And now I can appreciate the seasons because I can appreciate them within myself. So I think every woman, and I've done a few programs around like reclaiming your power and really stepping into your feminine nature, because that's the era we're moving into, right? The feminine is rising again, the matriarchy, and we need women in their power. We need women in their deeply in tune with their cycles. You know, I hear of all these women, what is it, like 1 in 4 now of infertility, of having to go through IVF after only 1 year of trying. And I just feel like there are other ways, you know, through herbs, through fertility awareness method, you know, all these natural ways of connecting. I think that's also one of my missions. I don't want to say mission, but purposes, is to help women remember to connect with their body, because our bodies are so wise and intelligent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a lot of the work that I do too. It's just from, like you said, not looking outside for all your answers, but turning inward and finding your own inner compass that's there.
Yeah, and that's hard, right? When we have been bombarded by magazines and body image. I mean, my 20s were riddled with emotional eating, anxiety, depression, you know, just hating my body. God, I remember laying in the bathtub sometimes and just loathing my body. And I'm getting emotional. When I awakened in San Francisco, I would do hot yoga like 5, 6 days a week, and that helped me during that dark night of the soul. And I remember laying in pigeon pose and feeling my hips and rubbing my hips and rubbing, because our hips are the junk drawers of our bodies. They store all these emotions, not from us, just from us, but our ancestors, all the women who came before us. And I just remember praying and loving my body and saying, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I betrayed you. I didn't know better." And that was where a lot of that healing and that self-love started coming in for me.
Beautiful. Oh yeah, I can relate so much to that as well. When you spoke a little bit to like your throat chakra in the beginning of the podcast, but I would love to hear a little more about how, like, what brought you the courage to heal that, start expressing yourself, and how you came about birthing your podcast, Soul Over Matter, and how you, a little bit about the name and your why.
Yeah, I love talking about this. So it's kind of ironic because I'm a speech language pathologist. So my whole career has been around helping children find their voice, right? And helping them remember their voice. And in 2019, well, in 2018, I had my first Reiki session, and that was what opened up so much of my channels and my energy centers. And it almost felt like my soul was like, okay, she's awake. She's online, guys. We can go in now. And I started my Instagram, and all I did in the beginning was, it was actually called You, the Power Within. So like the power within you, but that was taken. And that came to me through like a meditation, and I just started sharing journal entries. I'm a huge journaler, like I'm always writing. And I started that Instagram, and I would just post like nature pictures. And I had a personal account, and friends and family were like, would message me, "Michelle, is this you? Like, are these your writings?" And my persecution wound was so big, right? So like our past lives come up, right? Of like, oh my God, I'm gonna be killed for my gifts. And I was just like, I would just downplay it, like, yeah, that's me, but like, you don't have to follow, it's just my writings. And then I became Reiki certified like 2 months after that first session. And again, in a dream, I received a download for a women's circle, like the outline of the women's circle. And I didn't really know many people in San Francisco yet. I just moved there 6 months prior. But something was like, you need to bring women together. So I just created that Instagram, started sharing, and I invited all the women I knew, whether they were quote unquote spiritual or not. I released that. I let that go. And I actually share about that. I'm a co-author in a book called Heart-Centered Leadership. So it's kind of like chicken soup for the soul. And that's on Amazon. It's like 22 entrepreneurs, and we each like share a story. And I
Cool.
share about this, about starting these women's circles. And my first one was 4/4, April 4th, 2019. And 13 women showed up. So again, the 13 goddess. Goddess number, the number of cycles we have, the number of moons we have a year. Like it was just so powerful. And I remember literally writing out a guided meditation. Like now I can just, do it off the fly. But yeah, there was a sense of like perfectionism there, but also a release of it. Sometimes I actually channel that beginner Michelle because she didn't tie like her worth into like her career. And I think sometimes once we go down this path, we can get into our heads sometimes more. So yeah, that began my journey of just helping women. And I just, yeah, my Instagram, I started sharing more. I started sharing my face. It took me 6 months to share my actual face on my Instagram. And just teachings, just channeled writings and my truth, my voice, my authenticity. And that was when my podcast idea came in. So I was on a run and I heard soul over matter. I was like, huh, like that's cool, like mind over matter, but soul over matter. I'm like, that's a cool name. And I'm like, oh, it's my podcast name. But I didn't start the podcast till 2 years later. So this is for anyone too. Sometimes our seeds are planted for years, for decades, you know? It's not, you know, it's like when you plant the seed, the fruit isn't there. Like it takes a while to gestate and to grow. And it was also that like perfectionism again of like, how am I going to start this? You know, how? It's like, how? And we don't have to know the how. I actually do things messy, honestly.
Me too.
Yeah, like I just throw things out there because that's, yeah, it's like the human aspect. And it's also really beautiful to do it messy. Like every expert was once a beginner. So yeah, my throat chakra, if I listen to, I actually have some guided meditations that I recorded for myself from my Reiki teacher from like 2018, and my voice is completely different. And now I sing, I drum and I sing and I create medicine songs, and I know there's something there for me. I sat with ayahuasca last year and she was like, your voice, like your singing voice is needed for women. So I know there's something there. For now, it's for me. But yeah, the podcast started 3 years ago, so 2021. And I remember after the first recording, I had shared my spiritual awakening journey and I wanted to delete it, Amana. I wanted to like get rid of it. I woke up the next day and I was like, what did I just do? Like it was another layer of that persecution wound that I had felt when I started my Instagram. And this is where that like the layers come in. Our healing journey is not linear, it's a spiral. And we're going to be confronted with different aspects of ourselves the more we step into that highest timeline and that highest truth of who we are here to truly be. And yeah, since then, you know, it's been one of the most consistent projects and passion projects I've had. And it's evolved as I've evolved, as I'm sure you've evolved, right? It's listening even to those earlier episodes, you could hear more of hesitancy in my voice and less like fire and power. And now it's like, yeah, now I'd love to hear how you are too, but I used to like compartmentalize my spiritual side, you know, or like stay in the spiritual closet with certain people. And now I'm just like, this is who I am. Like, I will be at weddings and share about tarot and astrology and astrocartography. And just, I love helping people remember and like see that light bulb.
Absolutely. Love that. Thank you for sharing those stories of how soul over matter came to be. And I love that you also do some solo episodes and some interviews. It's, yeah, really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, never thought I'd have a podcast. Never thought I'd talk to more than, you know, three people. And I've had events and yeah, held space. And it's just like, wow, the journey we're all on.
Yeah, amazing how, yeah, we don't know where we're going necessarily, but we're following those next steps. Like you spoke about the breadcrumbs in your journey, traveling. I also noticed that your name here is Michelle the Mystic.
Yeah, I changed it again, like the evolvement. That was 2021, I think. I changed You the Power Within to Michelle the Mystic. I was like, yeah, like we're so many evolutions, right? We live so many lifetimes within this one lifetime. And I think honoring all the cycles, all the versions of who we are is so important as women. You know, like maiden to motherhood, you know, all these journeys that get to be celebrated and shared more.
One of my, I'm not on Instagram anymore, but one that I had was the Wild Moon Mystic. Was one
I
I
love
did.
that.
And so I feel like Mystic is one of those. It doesn't come around too often, but I love seeing other people using that word.
Yeah, it just dropped in. I don't even know where it came from, but
Yeah, I don't really remember for myself either. You talked about reclaiming the femininity within. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
You know, this this deep connection to our inner voice, to the wise woman within all of us, right? Like there's a maiden within us, there's a mother within us, and there's a crone within us. And in our society, like I said before, right, we're looking externally, or we're conditioned in a masculine world that's not even working for the actual like the male masculine. And we're here, and like we're in these boxes, and like as feminine, we are wild. We are just expansive and unclaimed, and we are here to embody so much. And I feel like reclaiming the femininity and the power within you is the creativity. You know, so many women are up in their heads, right, in the logic, and we're meant to be in our bodies, we're meant to be in our womb, in our root, you know. So I feel like dance is so important to me. Non-linear movement is so important to me. You know, years ago, like in my teens, I'm like, I can't dance, I can't do this, I'm not creative. And it's like, it's because I wasn't tapped into that aspect of me. And I think that also comes with being afraid of our power, right? Being afraid of that creativity, being judged for who we are, being judged for our creations. But if you are a woman with a womb, you are a creator. Whether or not you birth physical earth children, you are here to create, you are here to hold, you know, and to receive as well, right? We're like physiologically programmed to receive. And that's also something I share about, because as women, we're not, we don't feel like we're worthy of receiving.
Yeah, so important. Have you heard the reframe of the term virgin?
No.
Like, so there's Lisa Lister. She has this book called Witch. It's a beautiful book about just, yeah, that as women, we all are. And she talks about the roots of the word virgin, and that initially, like before biblical times, where they made it, you know, someone who hasn't had penetrative sex, that it was a virgin meant like a woman whole unto herself. So not the way that most people view it today, but as like this very powerful, like that sorceress energy of a woman whole unto herself and being able to own land by herself. That was like another like part of it, but
Beautiful.
yeah.
Yeah, I'm huge on words. I or reclaiming or reframing. So I love that you shared that, because it is, it's like that indoctrination, right? And the words that are taken from us, or misconstrued, or shifted for the agenda, right? And yeah, to reclaim, that's part of that reclaiming, right? That reclamation of, you know, even words like whore and slut and witch, even witch, right? It's like a witch is literally a medicine woman, a doula, an herbalist, a Reiki healer, right? It's all of these beautiful aspects, and so many women have the witch wound. And just look at how witches are portrayed in the media, right? It's but we're all, I honestly feel like we're all witches. We're all here to, yeah, it's a woman in her power. And that's why we were feared so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we sort of wrap up here, I would love for you to share, where listeners can find you, the offerings that you have in the world, a little bit more about one-on-one work if you're offering that right now. And I know you said astrocartography, you have an offering with that. And yeah, I would love to hear and have you speak out, the names of the places, and then I'll also include all the links in the show notes.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Amana, for first of all having me. This is amazing. Yeah, I'm most active on Instagram at michelle.the.mystic. And yeah, my offerings are being birthed right now, but astrocartography is one of those one-on-one sessions where we can dive into a few places that are calling to you, and then kind of look at your whole map and see, even like where you live as well. It can be really powerful just to know the energies you're working with, where you're currently living. So that's, yeah, for anyone in transition or desiring to travel, and or just curious, honestly, about astrocartography. And then, yeah, I tend to have Reiki certification classes every quarter. So look out for that. And yeah, into an intuitive psychic program coming out in probably May or June, as well as my Reclaiming Your Power, which is a 4-week feminine, for women program to reclaim those aspects of you. And then I have the collective, the membership, that we have like 10 live calls a month. We have a community online, and that's for anyone. If you're just learning astrology and human design, if you're a reader, if you, are just someone on the spiritual path, conscious path, it's a great place to connect with like-minded souls. And I think we're all craving that right now. And my
Absolutely.
podcast, Soul Over Matter.
Yes. And what sort of stories will people find on Soul Over Matter? Oh, just froze. Are you there? Well, maybe that was the end.
Sure.
Great. We just lost service for a moment, but we're back on. I was just going to ask you to share a little bit more about your podcast and what people can expect there when they come to listen.
Yeah, my podcast is all about stories, other people's stories. I always ask, share about your awakening journey, share about your conscious journey on when I have guests on. So the guests range from, oh my gosh, who did I have on? A sound healer, I think I had on recently, to God, like anyone, like meditation teachers. There's spirit baby readers. So I do a lot of guest episodes, and then my solo episodes, I'm actually diving deeper into vulnerability. Diving deeper into my personal stories. So yeah, you can find episodes on channeling, on authenticity, on speaking your truth, sharing your gifts. It's really whatever's coming through my channel at the time.
Wonderful. Amazing. Thank you. And is there anything else you would like to share as we close here? Anything that's particularly stirring your soul that you haven't already said that you would like to say?
Oh, just thank you for having me on. And yeah, for anyone listening, just remember that your visions are yours, and they're given to you and shown to you for a reason. Not necessarily having to know when they'll come true, in when they'll come to fruition, but knowing that you have them on your heart for a reason, and in your third eye for a reason. And yeah, to share your gifts, as scary as it can be to find yourself around others who are sharing theirs, because our gifts are wisdom, our knowledge is wisdom, and it's medicine. It's medicine when we share who we are. And yeah. share that with the world because others need that. We all help each other.
Yes. Oh, what a beautiful place to close. I'm so soaking in what you were sharing there too, because I needed to hear it as well. So
I
thank
did too,
you.
girl.
Thank you so much for being here today, and I'm excited to speak on your show as well.
Thank you, Amana.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of The Heart of the Soul. You can support this podcast by donating to it using the PayPal or Venmo links found in the show notes below. If you have stories that you would like to share on my show, please send me an email through my website. I would love, love, love to hear from you. If you would like to work with me one-on-one, please check out my current offerings on birthingnova.love. If you're listening on Spotify, you can now send me a voice message through the link at the bottom of the show notes. Until next time, remember to be brave, be love, be wild, be you, and be the change that you seek for yourself and for the generations to come. Love, 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 love you. Mwah.